The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 onwards. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They bought the donkey and the colt, and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd appeared, spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Amen. Thank you so much, Rachel. Oh, there's a lot of you, aren't there? I was saying to Mark before the service that the last time I wore a microphone like this was 10 years ago, and I was singing in Les Mis, and this is a bit different and a reminder that the Lord has a real sense of humor. I don't quite know what I'm doing here. But it is a real privilege to be speaking to you this morning. Over the past few months, we've been looking together through Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, at how it speaks into our discipleship. As our vicar Paul said earlier, we have been looking at the church's values of family, encounter, generosity, and transformation. That might have been the wrong way around. But all of these things are totally null and void if we do not first look to Jesus. If we do not allow these things to be an overflow from our faith and our love for him. So as we enter Holy Week and journey through today's reading, my prayer is that we will all discover, rediscover, or sharpen the picture that we have of who Jesus is. Up until this point in Matthew's Gospel, people have grown to know Jesus as a teacher. We've had the Sermon on the Mount. We've had many, many parables. We've seen supernatural works as Jesus has walked on water, as he has fed thousands with a few fish and loaves. Immediately before today's passage, two blind men receive sight at Jesus' hands. He has healed so many disabilities and illnesses. By now, there is a large crowd following him, witnessing his work, and yet not seeming to fully understand his message. The blind men cry out to Jesus for mercy, but the crowd rebuke them and tell them to be quiet. Does that add up with the Jesus that we've come to know so far in this gospel? Absolutely not. Jesus does not care for convention and etiquette, but he cares for the individual. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they say, "Lord, we want sight." And Jesus has compassion on them. He is a teacher, he is a miracle worker, and he is compassionate. And so we arrive on the edge of Jerusalem, Jesus is entering the town where a handful of days later, he will be tried and flogged and crucified. And yet this day does not point towards that. Instead, it is a time to affirm his kingship that the prophets foretold. Throughout the Old Testament, there are prophecies pointing towards Jesus's life on earth, looking to his birth, his death, his resurrection, but also to this seemingly insignificant, this minor event of him riding on a donkey into town. Jesus would have known these scriptures that the Old Testament say, and so he had his agenda set. He sends the disciples to collect the donkey and the colt in order to ride into Jerusalem, claiming his kingship, his messiahship, as was foretold by Zechariah. Today's reading quoted a small part of that prophecy, and I'm just going to read a little bit more of that prophecy from Zechariah 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." This passage reveals the very essence of who Jesus is. He is king. He is righteous. He holds the salvation of humanity in his hands. But he is also gentle, the Prince of Peace, ruling to the ends of the earth. And so this king enters Jerusalem meekly, with gentleness, not with armor in preparation for war, but to seek peace. But he does make an entrance. It's not under cover of darkness. He's not just walking in with a couple of friends, because it is a significant part of him revealing who Jesus is, revealing himself as king, as the one that the prophets foretold. It's interesting, isn't it, how many of these attributes we apply exactly to the Christmas story. It's all the same story. It's just a different chapter, but it is the same God, the same Savior, who we sing of as being meek and lowly in those Christmas carols. The crowd laid down their cloaks in offering and in worship. They cried out, "Hosanna," which means save. They call him blessed. This is one of the few places in the gospel that records Jesus's glory being recognized on earth. But just as with the crowd's response to the blind men, their response is flawed. They acknowledge Jesus as savior, yes, but they sought a savior who would come and overthrow the Roman Empire. Paul, our vicar, shared with us a few weeks ago the dangers of which way round we order our theology. Do we look at our own context and our desires first and filter scripture through that as a sieve? Or do we first seek what the Lord says? The crowd's expectation here is a prime example. They've seen and heard Jesus' teaching and work, but not understood it fully. So after all of this, when in today's reading, the city stirs, the original says it quakes with the question, who is this? The crowds answer, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. There is truth there, but it's not the full truth. To be a prophet was not Jesus's mission on earth. Living on the other side of his death and resurrection, as we do now, we can see that God's mission was for us to know him, to experience that new covenant that Malcolm was talking of earlier, to have access to relationship with him. Before Jesus walked on earth, as a result of the fall, humanity was destined to only reach God through an intermediary, a high priest who would enter the Holy of Holies in the temple with sacrificial blood on their behalf. Life had to be broken to gain that access. But then Jesus came to form a new covenant, a new promise with us. He became a sacrifice to top all sacrifices, that in his body being broken, no more blood needed to be shed. Isn't that amazing? To change the course of history in that moment, so that we may enter eternity simply through faith in him. Within the context of today's reading, a few days later, a crowd gathered again to shout of Jesus. We don't know if it's exactly the same crowd, but it's in the same town, so we can assume there are probably some same voices in there. This time, they would shout, "Crucify him." Whoever they thought he was, they decided he wasn't even worthy of life. That he wasn't worthy of life. On what we now know as Palm Sunday, Jesus was welcomed with praises of Hosanna. People laid down their cloaks and branches they cut from the trees in order to worship him and greet him into the city. Yet a few days later, he is condemned to death by a crowd. They thought they knew who he was, but they filtered what they had heard, what they had witnessed, down to what they wanted him to be. And he had no intention of fulfilling that desire for overthrow. His mission was so much bigger than they could imagine, so much more self-sacrificial than they could imagine. Only when Jesus died did a Roman centurion of all of humanity who had just taken part in crucifying this man, finally declared Jesus's identity. In Matthew 27, I'm just going to read a few verses from verse 50. Jesus is on the cross. And when he had cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." They had just partaken in his crucifixion, and finally they saw who he was. He was and he is the Son of God. Because for us now, we can see the whole picture. We can read the next chapter of that story, of Jesus's resurrection, of his ascension back to heaven, of the spreading of his gospel to the nations through the early church. He died so that we can know eternal life simply by confessing Jesus as Savior. In laying down our lives for him, we declare that he is worthy of it, that he is worthy of life. But it is a choice. In Hebrews 11, it says, and I'm just going to find the page because I'll probably misquote it. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The people who had been following Jesus, who had been surrounding him as he led so many miracles, as he taught so much, they didn't all see him for who he was. Seeing a miracle, having that thunderclap moment, doesn't necessarily equate to faith. We have to choose. We have to choose to have faith, to believe in that hope that Jesus has provided for us. It's all very well seeing the miracle, but do we see the Savior behind the miracle? So to you and I today, who is Jesus? Who is that man who 2,000 years ago rode into Jerusalem on a donkey? Is he worthy of our cloaks? Is he worthy of what we have to offer and lay down before him? Is he worthy of our hearts, of our lives? In response this morning, you are going to be invited to come forward and take a palm cross as a reminder, as an act of faith. It could be for the 100th time or it could be for the first time. Whichever number it is, Jesus is worthy of it. If you would like to receive prayer this morning, please do hover at the front after you've taken the cross, or before it if you're just not certain. We are family, and we are here to encourage one another and build one another up in faith. So before we go into that time and before our worship team come up, we're going to watch a video clip that Malcolm referred to earlier that he and Will Gowers have put together. Do allow it to speak to you as a revelation of who Jesus is to you, of the message he is speaking to your heart today. Thank you, Chris and Mark.